Okay, start out with, what is your name?
Huh?
What is your name?
John Miller.
And when were you born?
In 1895, November the 16th.
Okay. When I say the word depression, what comes to your mind?
That all depends on what you want to know.
Well, just start from the beginning. What was the first remembrance that you had?
My first remembrance I had?
Of the depression, yes.
Huh?
Of the depression. What was your first memory?
Oh, during the depression.
Yes.
Well, I was out of a job and I was a repairman. I run a garage and I was trying to get work at my house in the garage. I do little jobs for people that I knew that were friends of mine, and that way I got a few jobs. But these people didn't have no job and they didn't have no money. And some of them would, their people were on farms or things, they'd give me potatoes or something, vegetable or something that they raised on the farm. Now, but that wasn't enough to support them. So finally, I had to get on to the welfare. Well, in those days, they give me a grocery list, or it wasn't money, it was just something that I could go to the grocery store and they would redeem it for. And it was never more than $3. And I had four children, and me and the wife. Well, we had pretty tough going on the amount that we got from the grocery store, but nobody got very much in those days. And it was always a case of trying to get a job. Well, they finally, the city created jobs. Well, during that time, the water, they were extending the city of Detroit and outlying districts, and they were putting in water mains. And that's where I got a job working at it was 4 days a week. That's the most I could get. I forget just what they were paying me. It was something like, well, it was 50 or 60 cents an hour was the most I got. And, well, and then every week they would lay off a certain amount of them and hire somebody else to kind of divide this stuff up, the work up. Well, I was lucky for 4 or 5 weeks. I didn't get laid off. But one nice day, when I expected the release, boss come around. He didn't go by any name or anything. He picked about every third guy who was down in the ditch. And that's the guy that got laid off. He didn't ask him no questions or nothing. And, well, that was the end of my public works in Detroit. Well, from then on, we decided that we'd probably get out of Detroit. Now, that was that story. Now, how much more of the depression do you want?
Well, what happened after you left Detroit?
We came up here on the land. And that is where things started to change. And we got, nobody had any money. The farmers were all losing their farms up here. And I helped a lot of these farmers out. And we was a barter exchange. I couldn't get any money, but I always got potatoes or wheat or cabbage, or a pig. Why, one of my relatives told me that if he sells his pigs to Detroit, he would have to put $5 out of his pocket to them pigs, because it wasn't getting enough for the pigs to pay the trucker. So he gave me the pigs, and I worked off and on for him for 25 cents an hour. And finally he gave me a cow. Well, then we had milk. And he told me that I could mow some grass along the road, or there was a couple of fields there that I could mow grass in, and I'd have enough hay for my cow. Well, that is what I done. I overhauled these farmers' tractors. The tractor was just coming in, and some of them need overhauling. But I couldn't get any money. I would overhaul their tractor, and what parts they needed, they would go down and barter with a company to sell them the parts until their next crop came in. They had to sell milk and butter, or milk and cream, in order to pay for these parts, but evidently the dealer trusted them. Well, I done repair work like that off and on wherever I could, and then things got a little bit better, and I done repair work, and I repaired them. I done carpenter work, and I got 25 cents an hour. And some people, I couldn't get no money for it, and they would give me cabbage, potatoes, or pig. I don't know how many times I got a pig or a cow. And one time, this same man had thoroughbred cows, and he had a cull in the thoroughbred, and he didn't want that in his herd. So, and my cow wasn't very good. She didn't give any very much milk. So I took this cull and traded in my cow, and he sold the cow, and he got $12 for that cow. And anyway, I had plenty of milk with this cull, but he didn't want it in his herd because it was thoroughbred. So, well, then after that, the PWA started up. Well, I was working on the road, and they used to make a lot of fun with it. They'd put us on a bank someplace and haul the dirt away and make the road a little wider, and we would shovel dirt on there by hand. Well, some of the times the truck wouldn't get back, and the whole bunch of us would lean on our shovel. And that's where they said these PWA guys were lazy. They were always leaning on their shovel. That wasn't the case at all. We could only work 3 days a week, and we got $1 an hour. And $24 was the most you could get. But we could only work 3 days. Well, then when the road job stopped, why then we got a job digging. They had to have sewers in Rima. Well, everybody that wanted a sewer could get it for nothing, just so they had something to put these men to work. Well, I worked on that sewer until that was done. It lasted a month or so. Well, finally, I got a job as a carpenter on the PWA. We built a new school up here, and I was a carpenter. I got $1 an hour for 3 days a week, but that's all I could work. Well, pretty soon we got this job done in Remus, and then they sent me to Barrington. Well, then I had a drive. Well, a couple of other guys got laid off from there, and so we shared our driving, and we went to Barrington to work. Well, when that school got done, why, that was the end of the PWA. Well, then things were starting to look up a little bit. Things were getting better. Well, then the church up here needed somebody to take care of the lawn and the graveyard. The government established a fund to keep graveyards mowed. And I got a job for 25 cents an hour. And some weeks I worked 30 or 40 hours. And some weeks there was no grass. It was dry weather, so I only got probably a day, a week. Well, then I done repair work around the church, and it was all for 25 cents an hour. I went out and repaired the roof and the steeple on the church for 25 cents an hour. Why, an outsider would have got extra for climbing up on that roof because it was so high and steep. But that didn't make any difference in those days. It was just my bread and butter. Well, when that started fizzling out, why, I couldn't get enough, and the family, we had six children in the family, and the war came along. And I started getting a job over in Muskegon. Somebody wanted me over there to do carpenter work, and I went over there and finished up a few jobs, and the government wanted everybody to go in defense plant. I finally went in defense plant, and I got 60 cents an hour, and a couple of months later, I got 70 cents, and a little while later, I got $1 an hour, and I worked 7 days a week, and the war was on, and I stayed there, and by the time the war was over, I was getting $1.50 an hour. And I thought that was an enormous wage. I paid up all my back bills. I built a piece on the kitchen, a front room on the kitchen, and a front and a room and a bathroom and a utility room on the back, and put a roof on the house. And I got out of debt, and I worked. Things got better and better, and there was a car shortage, and they were hiring more men after the war, and everybody seemed to have a job, and I got out of debt, and got the kids out of school, and I got so that we got the kids so we could send them to college, and everyone graduated from the University of Michigan. And that was the end of the Depression. When the war was over and the company moved out, I moved back to the farm and I raised cows for 4 or 5 years and sold milk and cream. And finally, they went out of business. We could not send milk to the, we had to have a different type of sanitation. We had to put, we couldn't use the milk cans anymore. We had to have a stainless steel truck come up here and pump it right out of our cooler into the truck. And I couldn't afford that. So first thing I know, artificial insemination came along, and I had my cows all bred artificially by insemination. And finally the price went up from $1.50 to get a cow inseminated for $5, $10, and $15 a service. And it wasn't guaranteed anymore. And these guys that had this semen did not test it anymore, and come to find out I had stale semen, and I didn't have any more calves, and my land, I had to sell my cows because I didn't have any milk. And I had to go out of the milk business because prices and everything started going up. And so I retired. So that is the whole story in a nutshell.
What do you think caused it? What do you think caused the depression?
It was too much credit and nobody had any money. Everybody was credit and credit, and all the ones they started shutting down and they wanted cash because they didn't have any in the bank. And so they foreclosed on the farmer, they foreclosed on everybody until the President Roosevelt declared a moratorium. You could not sell a man's property anymore for taxes. You had to give him a time to get a job and get prices. They had to raise the prices of grain, potatoes, everything the farmer grew. The farmer could not get enough money to pay the taxes. And that is what brought about the Depression. It was all credit and no money.
So what did the farmer do at first?
Why, he just raised a 40-acre farmer made a living. And today, a guy with 100 acres can't make a living anymore because things are way out of proportion to what they did. At that time, they used to pay people 25 cents and 30 cents and 40 cents an hour, and today they got to pay them $2.35 an hour minimum. And if he drives a tractor or dangerous machinery, they got to pay him $8 and $10 an hour. So you can see things have got to be a whole lot higher, and the government has propped up all these prices so the farmer can partly survive on the way things are going.
So once the farmer really had a very tough time for a long time until he got things back going.
We was just barely existing for 4 or 5 years. Nobody had any money. I didn't have any money. And my 40-acre farm, I only paid out $12 taxes. And I couldn't afford that. And today, my taxes on the 40 acres is $600. So you can see there's a very difference in taxing people and everything.
Sure. So finally, how did you get out of that? How did you get out of that time when you couldn't afford to pay enough people and you couldn't afford to buy your stuff? You know, how did that finally come out?
There was a good friend of mine. I was only getting 25 cents an hour up here, and I couldn't pay my taxes because it wasn't regular. I'd probably get 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days a week work at 25 cents an hour. And I had a friend, the war was going on, and they wanted to take in roomers over there, and they didn't have room enough. So they had built an addition on their apartment, on their house, and they wanted me to come over and build it. I went over and built that. I no more than got done with that house, another woman came along, and she wanted one. And I got 75 cents and a dollar an hour, and that was enormous big money. And when that was over, that was a livelihood for me and the family. And I worked 7 days a week, and I drove to Muskegon on Sunday night, and the following Saturday night I came home. And even though I had to work on Sundays, even in the war plant, and when I started working in the war plant, I started getting more money, and I had a paycheck every week. I got my debts paid. And I got a bank account, and I had a little saving account, And finally, we could send the kids to school, and we could buy their clothes, we could buy their shoes. I bought a wash machine, I bought a ironer, and mind you, I paid for that ironer in a week's time that I got in the factory. And before, I wouldn't have been at 25 cents an hour, I wouldn't have been able to pay for that wash machine for 2 or 3 years. But when the war, and no matter what they say about Hitler or about Roosevelt, Roosevelt did not create prosperity the way they think he did. It was Hitler that started the war that put every one of us guys in a job over here to go into a war factory and make ammunition trucks. We was making trucks for a tank in our factory, and we worked 24 hours a day, three shifts, as long as the war was on. There was never a dull period. And the only time I got off is when I took off in between and didn't get no sleep that night. I worked every shift. What I mean, I worked my shift every day, 7 days a week, Sundays and all. And that's how I got money enough to build an addition on the house, and I had money in the bank when I got over. And when the war was over, I worked there another 5-10 years before they closed up. And by that time, I had all the kids going to college. And it was true, the boys got through on their GI setup, both boys, and the girls got scholarships. And they got through, and we helped them otherwise, and that's the way they got through college. And afterwards, when they graduated, we retired, and that is the end of how the thing came. But hadn't Hitler started that war over there? I had no use for Hitler, but nevertheless, he was the guy that created our prosperity over here. Everybody had a job, and anybody that wanted to work. We hired women, and anybody that was 18 years or older. We had got fellas working at the shop that were 75 and 80 years old. The sweeper was 77 years old, and he worked 7 days a week. And that's the way the thing ended up then. After that, why, things adjusted themselves. And today, why a lot of people are out of work again, and we need some kind of an adjustment to get these people back to work. There's plenty of work to do if only we can get the money and the right people behind it to promote it. So that's the end of the story.
So the money that you got came from the government, though, when you
a lot of it did. The war, all during the wartime, it was Uncle Sam that paid. Didn't make any difference what the thing cost. Uncle Sam paid us for everything that was made, even though he had to throw it on the scrap pile after the war.
Did he buy equipment and everything like that for the factory?
Oh, they gave us all the equipment. We built the building twice. The company I worked for built the building three times, trying to make the place bigger. We used to be 15 guys working in the plant when I started there before the war. And when the war ended, we had 500 people working there.
Where was the plant?
Egerstrand.
In case you need a glass of water.
Yeah, the Egerstrand Company.
Wow.
It was on in Muskegon in the Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the war was kind of the thing that got the adjustment.
Oh, the war is what set me up again on Easy Street. If it wouldn't have been for the war, I don't know how all these people would have got jobs, because the public work stuff was petering out, and they didn't want to keep them going anymore. They thought private enterprise ought to take over.
So, what? Going back a little ways, what did you do? What did you do during an average day before you started going to the defense
class? I went over there as a lathe operator. Mm-hmm. I operated a lathe, and they got new lathe in there. And as they got new lathe in there, I was a setup man. And after a while, when the plant got big enough, I was foreman. And I was foreman there for 2 or 3 years until the company moved out of there. And they wanted to pay me to go to Illinois, and I said, nothing doing. I've got a home up here, and at my age, I'm not moving over to Illinois. The company sold the plant and moved out, but they didn't sell their product, their name. They moved out, they just sold the property. And when they done that, I didn't want to look around for another job, and I came up on the farm and farmed it 4 or 5 years, or 10 years, in such a manner. But we made a pretty good living here with 10 cows, and we raised pigs and chickens. We had all the chicken, all the eggs, all the milk, and we butchered a fat calf or a steer every year, or butchered a hog, and we had meat. We had more meat than we ever had since then.
How did you get trained? How did you learn how to farm? How did you get trained to learn? How did you learn how to do farming?
Oh, I grew up as a farmer. I lived on a farm until I was 18 years old.
Is that when you moved to Detroit?
I moved to Detroit, and then I went in the garage business. And I overhauled Model T and Chevrolet. That's about all that was running. That was about all that was to be repaired in those days. After a while, everybody had a Model T or a Chevrolet. And they broke down quite fast. And that was a pretty good business. We made a little money in that business until we moved into a bigger place. And then the rent was too high. We moved out of a place that we were paying $100, and we moved into a place that we were paying $500. And we couldn't do that much work anymore to offset the rent. So the second place, we made a living, but that was about all. We never made any money. After that, when the Depression came, we was just down and out. I didn't have no money even for streetcar fare. It was only a nickel and a dime. But then we had our relatives up here on the farm that wanted me to come up here. And my uncle had died. And he said I could have it his place to live. And we bought the place, and we paid $50 a month down on the home. And we only paid $600 for the 6 acres and house and barn. They couldn't give it away. Nobody had any money to pay. So I stayed here until this, we had the 6 acres paid off. And then we bought the other 34 acres for $1,000. So we had 40 acres here in a row. And as I say, the taxes was only $12. But now it's $600. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'll have to shut up.
That's all right. I think we have 20.